Amen. We shall pray. Our blessed Father, we thank you so much because you are our Father. We are so important to you. Thank you for the way you care for our lives. Glory, glory, hallelujah to your holy name. Lord, we are going to your word. We pray you will minister to us and bless our lives. Cause your word to do us good. May we not hear it in vain. Cause your purpose for sending it to be fulfilled. And what you expect to happen to our lives as a result of listening to your word, O Lord, cause it to happen. May we not hear the word in vain. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. No part of the Bible is written for fun. The God we serve is a God of purpose. Brothers and sisters, do you ever ask yourself the question why we need to devote so much time to coming to church, hearing the word of God, thinking, talking about God, about Jesus? Do you ever ask yourself the question what our lives will have looked like if these spiritual activities are not part of our daily routine? Yes, for some children, mommy goes to church and I follow. But that should not be the case with the children that are growing up, the teenagers, the youth. You are expected to have God as your God and to relate with him personally. Everything written in the Bible is written for a purpose. This morning, we are looking at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When you come to verses 30-32, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Let all, everybody say all. You didn't say it well. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you join these three verses with verse 26, you will see something that looks like a kind of contradiction. But the Bible was uttered by one person, the Holy Ghost, who used over 40 scribes to do the writing for him. Over 40 people contributed to the writing of the Bible, but the real author was the Holy Spirit. And that is why, if you treat, explain any passage of the Bible in a way that it contradicts other passages of the Bible, you have automatically applied it or explained it wrongly. In verse 26, it is so clear, "Be ye angry and sin not." The Father says, don't let the sun go down upon your anger, upon your wrath. But when you come to 31, he says, all bitterness, all malice, all anger, all wrath, be put away from you. Let me quickly explain to you that when you are not born again, you get angry and do evil. Because of your anger, you may show wickedness, selfishness, malice, or any other evil thing. You can quarrel, you can fight, you can abuse, you can curse, you can do evil, being an unbeliever. When you become born again, and you have the seed of God in you, you are expected to stop sinning altogether. In fact, if you don't stop sinning, it means you are not born again. But one thing, you are still capable of doing some things inwardly that are not in perfect agreement with the will of God. Strange ideas, strange thoughts can still gather in your heart. But you don't permit it to lead you into any wrongdoing physically, because you are born of God. But what the Bible is saying is that that is not the ultimate. That is not where you are going. You are still to take a step further by getting rid of all wrong thinking, wrongdoing in your life. When you are saved, before you are sanctified, you can still be angry. And the injunction in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 is that when you are angry like that, be very careful that anger does not lead you into sin, such as the things I've mentioned: quarreling, fighting, abusing, cursing, and so on and so forth. If you allow your anger to degenerate to the level of abusing, cursing, fighting, quarreling, it means you are not born again. And in case you were born again, it means you have lost the experience. Don't forget what I have taught us before. Salvation is like a cup. It's like a container. It is like a platform into which you receive all other grace of God. Salvation is a foundation of your the beginning of your relationship with God. And all other graces of God, goodness of God, you receive it into that container of salvation. If for any reason you let go salvation, salvation gets out of your life, everything it contains, go with it. So you cannot lose your salvation and still retain your baptism with the Holy Ghost. There are people who claim to be believers, they still talk in tongue after committing sin. No, baptism with the Holy Ghost is gone. Your memory is simply repeating what it has taught, releasing what it has taught. When you are saved, you start a relationship with God. Many good things of God will begin to flow into your life. You receive them into the container of salvation. When you allow salvation to go, every good thing, gift of the Spirit, graces of God, anointing of the Holy Ghost, baptism with the Holy Ghost, sanctification, and every other thing you receive from God is gone. And that is why nobody can have relationship with God without first being genuinely born again. I'm now saying that when you are born again, you are still capable of getting angry. But the Bible says, don't let it lead you to sin. Because if your anger leads you to sin, you will lose your salvation instantly. A lot of people do something, they lose their salvation. After some time, they continue to run from sin, run from things. Salvation is gone already. Unless you do the first work, unless you go back to God in repentance and ask Him to forgive you, promising not to go back to sin, and rededicate your life to Jesus, you will not be saved. You may not know because of the things you have trained your life with. You have trained your life with how not to lie, how not to do this, how not to do that. You may see yourself still keeping some of these things. But in reality, the grace to live your life for God is gone when salvation is gone. Now, my focus today is not just salvation. I'm looking at that other part. The steps you're supposed to take further. Let all bitterness, verse 31, all, and all wrath, and all anger, and all clamor, and all evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Replace this with, that is, it says in verse 32, be ye kind one with another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. You cannot be tender hearted and angry at the same time. I'm sure you know what is meant by being tender, being gentle, being soft, being simple, mild. It's not strong, it's not hard, it's not difficult. Instead of being angry, that's what the Bible says you should have. Anger is a bad thing. Everybody say it. You didn't say it well. It has done a lot of evil in the past. It is doing a lot of evil today. It's still going to create a lot of wahala for people tomorrow. The Bible says you should put away anger altogether. I know. The reason why many believers are not sanctified is because they cannot consecrate everything on the altar of God. This includes their emotion, their passion, their desire, not only the other properties. If you don't get rid of anger, one day anger may get rid of you. Today, I've decided to show you some things the Bible says anger did in the past. There are many. My time is short. I'm not going to read all the related passages. They are popular. I will only bring to our remembrance the things we have learned, the things we have read, the things we have heard, and through that warn us of the danger of anger and the need for us to be tender hearted. Brothers and sisters, we have in the book of Jonah that God asked Jonah to go and preach at Nineveh so that the people of this city will not perish. He was reluctant to go. In fact, he refused to go. Though he knew it was God that said he should go. But maybe he felt he understood the situation better than God. I don't want to go into patriotism of Jonah that led him into that. But the truth is that he did not want to go until he found himself inside a whale and then began to repent and ask God to forgive him, promising to do the will of God. When the fish vomited Jonah, God ordered him again, go to Nineveh and preach. He now obeyed and went to Nineveh, 3 days' journey, preaching that destruction was to come upon Nineveh. The king of Nineveh believed the word of God. His chiefs believed the word of God. His people believed the word of God. They repented in dust and ashes. And thus, the judgment that was to come upon the city and its inhabitants was averted. When Jonah saw that Nineveh was no longer going to be destroyed, that his sermon had done the work that it was expected to do, the Bible tells us that Jonah became angry. Jonah became what, everybody? Do you know the prayer he prayed for himself? He prayed that God will allow him to die. That God will kill him. It was not only Jonah. Up to today, people still say evil things to themselves, about themselves. Some go as far as cursing themselves because they permitted anger in their lives. But God asked Jonah, do you do well to be angry? You know the meaning of that? It is not right for you to be angry. If you don't get rid of anger, anger will get rid of you. Anger made Cain to commit murder. Guess who he killed? His own blood brother. Maybe I need to draw your attention to the importance of Abel in the life of Cain. As at that day, there were only four human beings living in the world: Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Adam was made an adult. Eve was brought out of Adam an adult. The only children the world knew as a daddy were Cain and Abel, who are growing up. So if you talk about somebody Cain could relate more freely with, he could play with, he could talk with, it was Abel. This precious companion of his, Cain, killed because he was angry. By killing Abel, he actually did himself a lot of evil. He robbed himself of the companionship of Abel. And you know other things that he brought upon himself. He brought upon himself the wrath of God. God came judging and cursing. Was he not angry, he wouldn't have killed his brother. If he had not killed his brother, the problem upon himself wouldn't have come upon him. Today, where is Cain? Heaven or hell? You don't know. I'm asking everybody, answer me. Where is Cain today? Heaven or hell? I can't hear you. Some people said hell. Some people tried to play game by saying nothing. And I got your answer. I got it. You say, what's my answer? I don't know. Many of you said hell. Many of you, through your silence, you said, I don't know. You should know. Because even in the New Testament, we are still told that Cain belonged to Satan. When Satan goes to hell, all his properties will go with him. If Cain belonged to Satan, he will surely spend his eternity where? I can't hear you. Hellfire. And what was the problem of Cain? Anger. Anger. Anger is sending a lot of people to the bottom of the lake of fire. There are those who claim, that is how my God made me. No man is born holy. No man is born righteous. Every man is born a sinner. We inherit sin from Adam. You become holy, righteous, godly when you decide to forsake your sin and give your life to Jesus. It then means, if after you gave your life to Jesus, you can't do away with anger, it simply means you insist that you will abhor one of your wrongdoing, whatever be the case. It's not that God made you an angry person differently from other people. It's the same thing like people who claim, I am gay. Some people claim, I am lesbian. Believing that God made me that way. God never made anybody gay. Never made anybody lesbian. You choose what you want to be. You may decide to be an homosexual and then practice it. You may decide to be a lesbian and then practice it and go to hell when you die. Anger made Samson and Levi to commit murder. Do I give you some of these passages? Jonah, just read chapter 4. Cain, read also Genesis chapter 4. Samson and Levi, read Genesis chapter 34. Because somebody committed immorality with their sister, they decided to destroy a whole community. But when you come back to Genesis chapter 49, when their father was about to die, and he began to talk about each of the children prophetically, the curse of God on Levi and Samson, Simeon was declared. You know that Jacob gave birth to 12 children, and each of them was the father of a tribe. Levi was one of the children of Jacob. But go and read your Bible. There is no tribe of Levi in the Bible. Yes, he has descendants, he has children, but they were not reckoned with like the rest tribes. Because their father prophesied when he was to die that Levi was going to be scattered among the rest people. So they were not given an inheritance separately. They were scattered. Yeah, you said they were the tribe of Levi, they were the ministers. The primary reason for them becoming servants of God in the previous places they found themselves, the primary reason was that they were being punished for what their father did, committing murder. Read Genesis chapter 49. I beg your pardon, chapter 49, verses 5 to 7. You will get it. I don't want to go into these passages because of my time. Moses, you remember, was asked to speak to the rock to give them water. Instead of talking to the rock, what did he do? He smote. Why did he smote the rock? Smite the rock. He smote the rock because he was angry. The children of Israel provoked him to anger. He felt justified for being angry. Take him to any court. Nobody will convict him of any wrongdoing by being angry. His anger in itself looks non-problematic. All right. But what the anger led him to do? Smiting the rock of ages was the problem. What am I bringing out of that? You may know how to control your anger. Say, I'm still born again. But one day, that anger may lead you to sin. The sin that will lead you to hell. If you don't get rid of it. Moses was angry before them. You will call it holy indignation. But I want to say to you today that all anger is unholy. Even when you get angry for the sake of God, that your anger is still unholy. Your interest in God is okay, but your anger for the sake of God is unholy. Because the wrath of man doeth not the righteousness of God. God told Moses after he had spent 40 days alone on top of the mountain in the presence of God that your people have corrupted their ways. Go down and see. He was carrying the precious two tables. Praise the Lord. He was carrying the two precious tables. I learned that some people are asking, what's the topic? The evil anger can do to your life. That's the topic. The two precious tables of the law as it was coming down. By the time he got close, he was able to hear the music better. How they were worshipping idol. By the time he was able to see the camp, he saw in the middle of the camp an image, golden image, golden calf. And he saw how Aaron was sweating, leading the children of Israel in the worship of the golden calf, like he used to lead them in the worship of Jehovah. He saw the way the people were dancing, ha, eating and drinking for idol. For the sake of God, Moses became angry. What's the next thing? He threw down the two tables of the law that he spent 40 days to receive. Maybe it will interest you to know that the Bible says God himself made the table and with his finger wrote on it. How precious would that be? Something God wrote himself. But because of anger, he threw it down and broke the two tables. If you ask the reason for his anger, it was okay. How could they have done that? How could they have rejected God? How could they have worshipped idol? After God have done so much for them, making them to cross the Red Sea, sending manna to feed them, doing this for them, doing that for them, how could they go back to sin? The reason for the anger was okay. But the result of the anger was terrible. When Moses had finished dealing with his people, it was time for God to deal with him. God did not say, I curse you. He said, you know what you do, Moses? Just like the two you broke, go and produce two like that. Bring it back to the top of the mountain, and for another 40 days, I will write on it for you. Maybe you need to be told that for the 40 days, he did not drink water or eat any food. He wouldn't have needed to go back to the mountain for another 40 days fasting. But because of a momentary anger, he threw down the table, got it broken, and got for himself another 40 days of fasting. The day he smote the rock, he did it for the sake of God. These people, he said, were stiff naked. They appreciated nothing. They didn't know how to show gratitude for the goodness of God. Any little problem they had, they would forsake the good thing God had done for them. And this time they have come without evil again. Then Moses was angry. With the anger, God told him, go and speak to the rock. And he went and said, can we bring out water for you from this rock? Who was to bring out water? Was it Moses or God? And with that anger, he smote the rock. I could see angels in heaven putting their hands on their heads and say, ah, Moses, shishé. Moses have gone beyond this boundary. And what was the result? God said, because you did not sanctify me before these people, I have decided you are not entering Canaan. What was God looking for? God expected that as my representative in the midst of these people, you should be able to show extreme level of tolerance, humility, meekness, lowliness, tender-heartedness, that their provocation will not push you into doing anything that is contrary to my will. Because anything evil you do in the midst of these people, where you are representing me, I am the one you do it to. I am the one you do not sanctify. Moses thought it was a shy play. So after he felt the anger of God must have gone down, he went back to God and said, Baba, please, that Canaan, I want to enter. Baba said, you are not entering. He went back to God and said, that Canaan, I want to enter. Then God said, now, don't pray about this matter again. You know the meaning? To even pray was a sin. Moses got the message fast and shut up his mouth forever. He did not enter Canaan. Maybe you need to know or be told that Moses was born because of Canaan. That was the purpose of his birth. The devil knew it. That was why Pharaoh decreed that no Israelite should give birth to a male child. He was born miraculously. He was brought up miraculously. He was trained miraculously. His life naturally divides into three of 40 years. He was 120 years at the time he was dying. Having spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh enjoying the best of Egypt, another 40 years in Midian enduring the hardship of the desert, and then another 40 years leading Israel from Egypt to Canaan. 20 years of preparation, he forfeited the benefit because of anger of a moment. Can I tell you one secret in case you don't know? If not because Jesus had not died on the cross, Moses would have gone to hell. Anger of one day. What saved Moses? But Jesus had not shed his blood on the cross. In fact, after the death of Moses, we are told in the New Testament that the devil went there to claim his body. And the angel that led the team to carry him to paradise had to fight with the devil. And they could not win because the devil was claiming he died as a result of sinning. Until the angel said, the Lord rebuke you. I said, if you appeal to the Lord, then I leave you. Otherwise, today Moses will be in hell after serving the Lord the way he served him. Maybe you need to be told that there are those who had labored and served the Lord seriously, but will spend their eternity in hell because they cannot control their anger. Anger is an enemy. Tell your neighbor. Say it again. A terrible enemy that has created trouble for a lot of people in the past, creating trouble for a lot of people today, and will still create a lot of trouble for many more people tomorrow. Can you remember Balaam? He was riding his ass, and God opened the eyes of the animal and not the eyes of the servant of God. The animal saw an angel with a drawn-out sword that wanted to behead him. And when the angel saw, the angel dodged so that the sword would not cut the head of his master. And Balaam smote the animal until there was a place where there was no how the angel, the animal could pass, and then crushed the leg of his master against the wall. And he became angry, beat the animal. Then God caused the mouth of the animal to open. And he said, why do you beat me like that? Can you imagine yourself riding an ass? And suddenly the ass say, Bela, why do you beat me like that? And Bela was crazy enough to answer the animal. Not surprising that the animal spoke. He said, yes, because you dishonor me. Then the animal said, have you not been riding me since all these days? Have I ever behaved like this? Then God opened the eyes of Balaam. He now saw the angel that wanted to slice him. And my Lord,
anger.
You know what that is illustrating? The fact that when you are angry, you may make yourself the enemy of your helper. Somebody who wants to assist you. Somebody who wants to help you. Somebody who wants to bless you. Your anger will make you his enemy. May you not be an enemy of your helper. Amen. Because you will lose the help that he brings. Hey! One of the worst story of anger we have in the Bible has to do with a man called Ahithophel. Ahithophel was one of the counselors of King David. In fact, the greatest, the best of them all. The Bible tells us that the wisdom of Ahithophel was so great that if Ahithophel counseled you about anything, it was as if God of heaven himself counseled you. Because whatever he says you should do, when you do it, you have the perfect result. David knew this, and he relied so much on the counsel of Ahithophel. For so many years, Ahithophel was doing that business and doing it well. Until one day, there was a rebellion led by David's son, by name Absalom. One of the people that fell to the side of Absalom was Ahithophel. Now, as they were planning how to fight David and those who are on his side, Ahithophel gave counsel on what to do. The Bible said that the counsel of Ahithophel was the best, in fact, the only good one. But because God wanted to deal with this rebellious child called Absalom, God made him to reject good counsel and accepted bad counsel. Now, Ahithophel became angry, knowing that his counsel was good, knowing that the other counsel was bad, knowing that his counsel would lead to victory, knowing the other counsel will lead to failure. He was so angry. Then when he thought of what to do, because he was so angry, he said, the only thing that can pacify my anger is to kill myself. When you are angry, you behave like a crazy person. A little anger is a little madness, a little insanity. Can you imagine somebody's counsel being rejected? Instead of him to wait and let the one who rejected his counsel see the repercussion, by the time they see the repercussion, he will say, did I not tell everybody will know that his counsel was good? He will not wait to see that. He went to his house and let me say, he wrote his will. He put his hands in order. You have this, you have this, you have this. And he went and hung himself. By the time the goodness of his counsel will appear, he had killed himself. Anger. You know that people run from church when they are angry? How can I bring that suggestion? And it's just rejected. The next thing, he will commit spiritual suicide. He will go to join Pigreara. Like the prodigal son. Anger is a bad thing. Everybody say it again. There is no good anger. Say it again. Only anger. Only indignation. Righteous anger. That is anger that has good motive. But no anger has good results. Anger of man. Do it not. The righteousness of God, the Bible says. No anger has good results. Anger could have good motive. But no anger has good results. Say it. If you are looking for a quotable code, that's another one for you. An anger can have good motive, but no anger has good results. Say it. Say it. I didn't hear you. Okay, let me put it in another way. Your anger may have good motive. You may feel justified for being angry, but no anger has good results. Say it. If you are looking for good results, have nothing to do with anger. Anger will not bring good results. Do you remember that when Naaman came to Elisha? Elisha said, go to River Jordan and dip yourself in 7 times. Your body will return like that of a baby. Balaam became angry. What was the reason for his anger? I thought the prophet would come out and use his hand to rub the leprosy and then pray for me. He stayed inside the house. Okay, thank you. Naaman, thank you. Did I say Amen? Or what did I call it? Naaman. Was he not told that I'm the captain of the host of Syria? What does that have to do with your healing? The man of God said, go and dip yourself in the water 7 times, you'll be okay. He was angry. Thank God for wise subordinate, wise people that came with him. They now said, Naaman, if he had asked you to pay big money or do some big thing, wouldn't you do it? He asked you to do a simple thing. Go and do it and see it doesn't work before you complain. Okay. Thank God, he decided to obey. You know what? If you are not born again, you can suppress your anger, but you cannot kill it. I beg your pardon. If you are not sanctified, you are born again, you are not sanctified, you can suppress your anger. That people will not even see, but it's there. It's stopping you. If you refuse to do evil, if you choose to do the right thing, you may not have much problem. Though he was angry, he decided to go to the river. By the time he came out of the water, he realized that he had no reason to be angry. Thank God for Naaman. King Asa was one of the good kings of Israel. The story of Naaman is in Numbers 22. The story of, I beg your pardon, Balaam is number 22. The story of Ahithophel is in 2 Samuel 17. And the story of Naaman is in 2 Kings chapter 5. A man called Asa, one of the kings of Israel, was a good king. But one day, a servant of God brought him a message that was not palatable. And Asa became angry. Because of his anger, you know what he did? He imprisoned the servant of God. And what followed? From that day, he was no longer a good king. And it was no longer well with him. Read 2 Kings chapter 16. When a good person, permits anger in his life, he will become a bad person. Anger will change your goodness to badness if you allow it in your life. Anger. There was another king called Uzziah. Uzziah was accused of wrongdoing by a servant of God because he did wrong. Instead of him to apply the wisdom of his forefather David, when David was accused of wrongdoing, what did he do? I'm sorry, I've sinned against God. And the servant of God also has forgiven you. When Uzziah was accused of wrongdoing, he became angry. But do you know what followed? Immediately he became angry, leprosy fell on him from his head to his toes. He was not cured till he died. Anger. Anger can bring any wahala. The story is in 2 Kings chapter 26. Anger can bring trouble of any kind from any quarter when you permit it in your life. Children, anger has no respect for teenagers. It has no respect for youth. It has no respect for children. Anybody that permits anger in his life will reap the repercussion. Amen. The other one was Naaman. This one is Naaman. Esther chapter 3, you have the story. You know that Naaman was destroyed. He was hanged on the gallows he made for Mordecai. But what was the foundation of that problem? Mordecai would not bow to Naaman. All the other people were bowing. Only Mordecai. Why can't you ignore him? He became so angry that he felt I can't enjoy life until I destroy Mordecai. No, I won't destroy Mordecai alone. I destroy all of his, the people of his country, because I'm angry because he didn't bow to me. Who was destroyed at the end of the day? Amen. Himself. There are bosses in the place of war that will say, as long as this boy is still working in this company, I cannot have rest of mind. Because the boy did something, you are angry. You won't have rest of mind, though, just like you have prayed. And who is creating you trouble? Your anger. Herod became angry. According to Matthew chapter 6. When the wise men, I've told you the Bible never said three wise men, so you don't know the number. The Bible never said three. Wise men refused to return to him after visiting the baby. Herod became so angry that he said every child from age 2 downward should be slaughtered in one day. Because of anger. The one he was angry with, wise men, they've gone back to their countries. The innocent children that didn't know anything, that didn't do anything, he decided to kill. But it wasn't long after then before he died. The people of Nazareth, according to Luke chapter 4, almost murdered Jesus because they were angry with him. So they threw him from the top of a hill. Push him. They wanted to push him down and kill him. But he disappeared. And in their midst, he went away. No wonder the Bible says that even in Nazareth, Jesus could not perform many miracles. Can you imagine Jesus not able to perform miracles in the place where he was brought up? They brought him up, but they could not enjoy the benefit of his ministry because of anger. Maybe you don't know that some churches, those who build that church, will not enjoy the benefit of the church because they are angry. They are the foundation stage. They are part of the foundational members. They are the ones who did this, who did that, who cut the bush, who cleared this, who built the house. When it's time for the church to begin to use some positive resource of blessing, somebody will look at them and say, the way you look at me, I'm angry. The next thing will run away. The Bible says you will not labor for others to eat. But if you permit anger, it will not allow you to eat the fruit of your labor. Brothers and sisters, anger is bad. No one in his right mind will consider what anger did in the past and what he's doing today and not realize that it is something we must do away with. You know what? Somebody, Horace is the name, says, anger is momentary madness. So control your passion or it will control you. If you don't bring your anger under subjection, it will surely bring you under subjection. If you read your Bible, go and take a dictionary, a Bible concordance, and look for the word anger. Then read all the passages that talk about anger. Take any good Bible topical textbook and look for the one anger, and look at all the passages of the Bible that talk about anger. You may take a Bible dictionary and read everything it says about anger. You will see that the Bible has nothing good to say about anger. Anger is evil. Everybody say anger is evil. Say it well. Including the holy indignation. Including what they call holy anger. They are all evil. Anger may have good motive, but anger does not have good result. Don't forget, there are differences between the anger of God and that of man. The anger of God doeth the righteousness of God, but the anger of man does not do the righteousness of God. So what I brought out of my Bible as I search for what the Bible has to say more about anger are the following. In Ecclesiastes 7:9, Proverbs 12:16, and 14:29, I am told that anger is a mark of foolishness. It is a proof that you are stupid. You are not wise. Wise people will do away with anger. Foolish people, will be angry. It's a proof that you are foolish. In Luke 6:11, my Bible shows that anger is a real mark of madness. In Galatians 5:19-21, my Bible shows that anger is one of the works of the flesh, a companion of many other evil things. In 1 Timothy 2:8, my Bible shows that anger is an hindrance to a successful prayer life. So we are asked to lift up holy hands without wrath, without anger. You won't be able to do it when you permit anger in your life. You see anybody angry and is praying seriously when he's angry? The anger will first have to die before you can pray. As long as you are angry, you cannot communicate with heaven. You are a madman, crazy person. So you can only behave like a crazy person when you are angry. Anger is an hindrance to a successful prayer life. 1 Timothy 2:8. Anger is a companion of all the following. Pride. Anger goes with pride. If you read Psalm 21:24, you see foolishness. I've given you the passages. Anger goes with hatred. Psalm 55:3. With strife. Proverbs 29:22-30:33:15:1. No wonder the Bible says soft answer turneth away wrath. You can't give soft answer when you are angry. It's a companion of transgression. Proverbs 29:22. Tell your neighbor anger is bad. Tell your neighbor give no place to anger. The Bible says you should do away with all wrath. Anger is a companion of evil speaking, evil talking. Like we read in Ephesians 4:31. It's a companion of blasphemy. You are able to say what shouldn't have come out of your mouth when you are angry. You can say anything to yourself, to Jesus, to God, against anything, against anybody, against the things of God when you are angry. Anger is a companion of cruelty. If you are angry, you may become cruel. Can you imagine the cruelty that Cain displayed by killing Abel? Abel did not do anything, no. He made sacrifice to God. God rejected his sacrifice. Is Abel in the council of God to determine what sacrifice to reject, what sacrifice to accept? But because he was so angry and there was no how he could go to kill God, he decided to kill anybody around him. You've not heard about men that are angry with their wives and they will beat their children. I even heard of a man that was angry with his wife, and to spite the wife, to make the wife feel bad, he decided to kill, was it, two of their children. And when he was arrested, he said, yes, I did it because of my wife. You kill innocent children because you are angry with your wife. When your anger comes down, you now see that you are crazy. Say, I will not be crazy. Say. Young children, if you are an angry person, you cannot live with a wife in peace. Girls, if you are an angry girl, no husband will tolerate you for long. And you cannot enjoy any relationship. That is why you see women packing from one house to another, to another, to another, to another. I heard of a man who divorced 51 times. Was it 50 or 51 times? When he went, the 52nd wife, 52nd wife, 1, 2, 3, 50, 51. When he would do his 52nd wedding, he did it with his first wife. The very first woman he divorced was the one he wedded again the 52nd times. What is the meaning? You don't understand. He has tried 50 other women. He couldn't live with any of them. He now realized that this one we had a quarrel with is better than all of them. Anger. 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 If you don't destroy it, it will destroy you. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Proverbs, Job 19:29 says, be ye afraid of the sword, for all bringeth the punishments. Anger will bring you punishment. Psalm 37 verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fear not thyself in any wise to do evil. Job 5:2 says, for all killeth the foolish man. What killer it offer? Was it not his anger? Stand up and let us pray. Help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Sing it. Help me, Lord God. In you alone I trust. Help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. Don't let me be ashamed. You are many, I know. I'm the pastor of this church. I know you are many. But what an opportunity you are having this morning to get your anger dealt with. I know you are many among young boys, among teenagers, among youth, even daddies and mommies that are still having problem with anger. To subdue your anger, to suppress your anger may be manageable. But what is important is to do away with it, get it destroyed. You can go before God today and say, Baba, the root of bitterness, the root of anger, remove it from me. So that I will be tender-hearted, holy, in your sight. And God will help you. Close your eyes. How many of you would like to say such a prayer? Remove the root of bitterness, the root of anger from me today, O Lord. If you like to say the prayer, adult, youth, teenagers, children, close your eyes and say, raise your right hand. You want to say that prayer? Root of bitterness, root of anger, oh Lord, remove it from me, uproot it from me, so that I will be free. You don't want to say the prayer, and don't say the prayer. When the result come, will you say, I did not preach to you? I've done my own part. It is left to you to do your part. If you will say the prayer, I'm not wasting time on that, I'm going to somewhere else, leave your position and run to the altar. All of you, you want to say the prayer, go to the altar and say, Baba, deliver me from my anger. Don't let this anger destroy me. Before it destroys me, deliver me from it. Remove the root of it from me and liberate me, oh Lord, so that I will be liberated from anger. Anger is bad. Anger is destructive. If you don't kill it, it will kill you. If you don't destroy it, it will destroy you. If you don't uproot it, it will uproot you. If you don't separate from it, it will separate you from Jesus. Separate you from heaven. Separate you from peace. Separate you from eternal blessedness. Those of you that still want to join them, you are looking. Maybe you open your eyes and see the number in the front. The earlier you join them, the better it is for your life. And those of you in the front, don't wait for me. I'm not coming to you at all. Begin to talk to God. Explain to him what you know about yourself. Oh Lord, I know I'm an angry person, but I don't want to be angry anymore. The root of anger, bitterness, wrath, remove it from me and liberate me today so that I will live my life for you. If you want to join them, join them. If you want to deceive yourself and you know you're an angry person, stay there and deceive yourself, but you are not deceiving God. You want liberation? Come to the front now and talk to God. And talk to God really.
talking to God to remove that seed of bitterness in you, that spirit of anger in you, and tell God to renew your spirit with His spirit. As the Bible tells us, that let this spirit be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. What type of spirit is in you? If you have the opportunity today to tell God that, God, every root of bitterness in my life, every root of anger, which will not allow me to get to heaven, which will not allow me to enjoy you, which will not will make it to say, oh, I never knew you. That is today, today. Tomorrow is too late. That today, remove it from me. Blot it away from me. Blot it away from my life. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Baba, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth and nothing but the truth. You have spoken your word to us today. And the one that you know for surely is what we need at this moment. To make us acceptable unto you. That we give you all glory and adoration in Jesus' name. Father, we are here today to talk about anger, bitterness. We are talking about the root of all malice. Everything that is causing problem in our hearts. That are affecting our Christian life. That are making people to even have a doubt about us. Whether we are really your children. Whether we really know you. Whether we really serve you. But telling today is a great opportunity. Thank you for the privilege you are giving us today to renounce this. That they will pray that every root, everything that has about hanging in our life, uproot them in Jesus' name. That they will say, uproot them in totality from our life today in Jesus' name. Father, there is a purpose for this gathering. And the gathering is for us to change. You want to change us for good. You want us to have a life that is in you, in us. That we will be able to see your qualities in us. Baba, as he said in that day in Antioch, when they look at it, they saw that Christianity values in their lives. Daddy, we are bringing ourselves today unto you, O Lord. Daddy, show mercy unto us in Jesus' name. Let your mercy purge away every iota of bitterness in our life today in Jesus' name. And Daddy, as we pray, we say that, Lord, you will renew our spirits with the spirit of tenderness, with the spirit of you, that people shall be able to see your glory in us. That they will say, you do this for us today in Jesus' name. But we are praying, O Lord, that even from this moment, everything that is causing struggle in our hearts, that is affecting our sanctification, today we come today to their presence, Lord, that will blot out and make us be pure in Jesus' name. Purity of heart, that they will pray that you give us today in Jesus' name. So that our lives will be what you want it to be. That your purpose for today will be fulfilled in our life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy, because you fear the Lord. Abba, we commit ourselves to us. We confess we are living here, O God. We want to live with the new grace, with the new energy that you are giving us today. That we will be able to see your new quality in us. Even our spouses, our parents, our family, everybody that has to do with us, they will know that surely God has started doing something in our life today in Jesus' name. Let this be evident in our life today in Jesus' name. Abba, we appreciate you, Lord. We thank you because you are God, O Lord. Abba, we commit this week into your hands, O Lord. Lord, let it be well with us this week in Jesus' name. Make us to be at the center of your will this week in Jesus' name. What we have been praying for today, Daddy, anger will not have any room in our life this week in Jesus' name. But that throughout this week, we have every cause to glorify your holy name. That surely God is ours, so shall it be in Jesus' name. And Daddy, we pray to God that you said no good thing will you withhold from us. When we are obedient to you, when we diligently seek you, when we hearken unto you, about we commit all our needs into your hands. That you know more than the way we know. You see more than the way we see. You are the Lord that can do all things. Everything that we need to do this week, Baba, we pray that you do that with us in Jesus' name. You will go with us to everywhere we need to go to this week in Jesus' name. Baba, we pray even our pastor as he commit, as he started over another journey today. Baba, from visitation to missionary journey, Lord, you will go with him in Jesus' name. Your virtue will go with him in the name of Jesus. There will be evidence that he is your child anywhere he goes. We thank God for the testimony that we've heard, even concerning the last one. But this one, as it's going to Uyo, is going to Port Harcourt and Abuja, Baba. Oh, there will be miracle galore in the name of Jesus. Baba, there will be miracle galore in Jesus' name. Father, we want to listen to testimonies. Thank you, Daddy, because we heard the Lord. And Father, we cannot remember but to talk about our confirm. Lord, the confirm, we want your manifestation in this place. We want the people to know that Jesus is in Bible Pastor Church. So shall it be in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray.